Volume 46, Number 6, The Friend Magazine for June 2016. Contents: Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, Parable of the Dandelion by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Buckets of Mud, Family Night Fun, A Party for Princess Libby, My Special Place. Answers from an Apostle, Elder Neil L. Anderson. Friends Who Stand Tall, Standing for the Right. Bulletin Board, Who Will Baptize Me? Book Reviews. Book of Mormon Hero, Abish Was a Missionary. I Can Read the Book of Mormon, The Whole Armor of God, Jordan Study Buddy, Show and Tell, Friend to Friend, Keep Peddling by Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson. When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Dancer, Matt and Mandy, Stop and Flip, Music, Repentance, For Older Kids, Goodbye to Scary Stories, Was I Ready? Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, My Baptism Bag, Happy Sabbath, Letters of Love, Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture, Fun Stuff, Yay for Dads, Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones, Bright Idea, Caleb's Bedtime Prayer, Thank Thee for Everything, Book of Mormon Stories, Alma Teaches How to Pray, Coloring Page, and Adventures with Grayson. End of Contents. Read by Dwayne Case.
Friends by Mail. The Goodnight Train. We read The Goodnight Train, August 2015, while we acted it out with our train set. Price, Giselle, Felix, and Jesper C., ages 9, 6, 3, and 1, Arizona, USA.
From the First Presidency, we acted out, grateful no matter what. From the First Presidency message, October 2015, about Nephi, found in 1 Nephi 18:11-15-16. Lizzie, Simon, Valerie, and Everett N., ages 12, 4, 3, and 1, Arizona, USA.
How I Use a Friend. I like to read The Last Laugh because it is really funny, and Through Your Eyes because it is so beautiful. I also like looking for the hidden CTR ring and showing it to my dad. He can usually find it, but it takes him a long time. Adam H., age 8, Virginia, USA.
Scripture Time. Our Volume 8 class learned about Peter, Cornelius, and the angel from Scripture Time, October 2015. We cut out the missionary tags and talked about ways we could practice to become good missionaries. Valiant 8 class, California, USA.
Dear friends, one way Heavenly Father shows His great love for you is by giving you an amazing gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. On page 34, you can read about a girl who overcame a problem so she could have that gift. On page 24, find out how God protects you when you put on His whole armor. Be safe, the friend. P.S. Write to tell us how wearing God's armor has protected you. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of the section, Friends by Mail for June 2016.
From the First Presidency, Parable of the Dandelion, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency. Once there was a man who liked taking evening walks around his neighborhood. He particularly looked forward to walking past his neighbor's house. The neighbor kept his lawn perfectly mowed, with blooming flowers and healthy shady trees. It was obvious that the neighbor worked hard to have a beautiful lawn. But one day, as the man was walking past his neighbor's house, he noticed in the middle of this beautiful lawn one enormous yellow dandelion weed. It looked so out of place that it surprised him. Why didn't his neighbor pull it out? Couldn't he see it? This dandelion bothered the man so much that he wanted to do something about it. Should he spray it with weed killer? Perhaps if he went at night, he could remove it secretly. The man kept thinking about the dandelion as he walked toward his home. He walked into his house without even glancing at his own front yard, which was covered with hundreds of yellow dandelions. I'm not sure why we are able to tell people how to fix their problems so well, while we often have difficulty seeing our own, but we need to see ourselves clearly. We must approach or come to our Heavenly Father with teachable minds, ready to learn. We must be willing to learn and change. As we do so, God will lead us by the hand. We will be made strong and blessed from on high. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 28. Note, adapted from The Lord Is It I, Ensign, November 2014, pages 56 through 59. Beams and motes. Jesus Christ taught not to judge other people. He asked why we would pay attention to a small speck or mote that was in someone else's eye if we had a large piece of wood or beam stuck in our own eye. This is what Jesus said. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 5. End of the article from the First Presidency, Parable of the Dandelion, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Buckets of Mud by Jane McBride Choate, based on a true story. When ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 17. It was early when Tayson rolled out of bed and put on old work clothes. He and Dad hurried and ate breakfast, then pulled on boots and work gloves.
Grab those shovels and put them in the car,
Dad told Tayson.
We're going to need them.
Last night, Dad got a call from Brother Merkley in the ward. Some of the houses nearby had filled with mud from a big storm. The owners needed lots of help cleaning out their muddy basements.
Can I go?
Tayson had asked.
Sure. It's going to be hard work, but I think you can do it.
Tayson grinned. He was excited to help Dad out. When they got to the house, they saw other people from their stake. The stake president patted Tayson's shoulder and said he was glad Tayson was there. Tayson was glad, too, until he looked down the basement stairs. Squishy, wet mud piled halfway up the stairway. How would they ever get down there? Dad grabbed his shovel and plunged right into the mud. Tayson followed. He tried to step in Dad's footprints, but the mud sucked the prints away before he could step into them.
Can you start shoveling?
Brother Merkley asked Tayson's dad.
And Tayson, maybe you can join the bucket brigade with me.
Tayson followed Brother Merkley to the far end of the basement. Tayson got in line and passed a bucket full of mud to the person next to him. The last person in line lifted the bucket through the open window to someone outside. Then another bucket came down the line. Tayson had never seen so many buckets in his whole life, and every one of them was full of mud. The line of buckets never seemed to end. Soon, Tayson's shoulders and arms got tired. After working for several hours, everyone took a break. Tayson stretched his aching shoulders.
I think we've got it under control here, but if anyone can stay longer, it would be great to help other neighbors.
Tayson rubbed his arms. He wondered if he could ever lift another bucket. But he still climbed up the stairs and followed Dad across the muddy grass to a neighbor's house. Once again, Tayson passed dozens of heavy buckets filled with mud down the line and out the basement window. His arms and back felt sore and limp as spaghetti, but he didn't quit. When the basement was cleared of mud, the man who lived in the house shook everyone's hands.
I can't believe you folks turned out to help people you don't even know. I can't thank you enough.
Tayson and Dad returned home covered in mud. Tayson felt like every muscle in his body was sore and tired, even his eyelids.
I've never been so dirty, not even when we went camping last summer. Do you think Mom will let us into the house?
Dad looked down at his muddy shoes and burst out laughing.
I hope so. I don't think we can go to church tomorrow looking like this.
I hurt all over, but I feel good at the same time.
That's the good feeling that comes from helping someone else. I'm proud of you.
Tayson was wet and cold from the hard, damp work. But Dad's words warmed him all the way down to his toes. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
I helped my dad put up the walls in the barn. Jacob D., age 9, Mississippi, USA.
End of the story, Buckets of Mud. Read by Shauna Thompson, Scott Christopher, Asher Hawkins, Wes Nelson, Matthew Moore, and Terrell Williams.
Family Night Fun. Here are some fun FHE ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Secret Service. Read the story, Buckets of Mud, page 4. When we serve others, we love them as Jesus would love them. Number 1. Write everyone's names on separate pieces of paper. Drop them in a bucket or other container. Number 2. Have everyone pull another person's name out of the bucket. Don't show anyone. Number 3. Think of ways that you can serve that person every day for the next week. Number 4. Draw or write down each act of service you do and drop it in the bucket each day. Number 5. Next family home evening, read through all the nice things your family did for each other. You could even guess who did each thing as you pull the papers out. Mud buckets. You can make your own buckets of mud, but you can eat this mud. Be sure to get an adult's help. Recipe. 1 package, 3.9 ounces or 110 grams, chocolate instant pudding. 2 cups cold milk. 10 chocolate cookies, crushed, and gummy worms. Number 1. Beat the pudding mix and milk in a large bowl for 2 minutes. Let it sit for 5 minutes. Number 2. Stir in half of the crushed cookies. Number 3. Divide the pudding between cups. Number 4. Top with the remaining cookie crumbs. And number 5. Refrigerate for 1 hour. Top with gummy worms just before serving. Say thanks. How can you show gratitude when someone does something nice for you? Say thank you or give a card. Do something nice in return. Pass it on. If you don't know who helped you, help someone else. Keep a gratitude journal. Write down the nice things people do and how they make you feel. Most important, remember to thank Heavenly Father for your blessings. Tasty treats. Try these for FHE this month. Cut pitas into triangles and sprinkle with olive oil, salt, and garlic powder. Bake at 400 degrees Fahrenheit or 200 degrees Celsius until golden. Put half and half and a bit of sugar on, slice strawberries or bananas. Mix blueberries with vanilla yogurt and a dash of cinnamon. Spoon onto wax paper and freeze for 1 hour. More FHE ideas. Here are some more FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Plan your own family sleepover party. Read, A Party for Princess Libby. You could build a fort, pop popcorn, and play games. Idea 2. What can your family do to get ready for baptism or to remember your baptismal covenants? Read, Who will baptize me? Then make your own baptism bag. Idea 3. Read, The Whole Armor of God, and make your own armor. We'd love to see a photo. What can you do every day to keep your spirit safe and happy? End of the article, Family Night Fun, read by Noah Strongen.
A Party for Princess Libby, by Marianne Dahl Johnson, based on a true story. Libby was always in the way until... If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Desi squinted at her book, trying to focus on the story.
It was hard when her 4-year-old sister Libby was playing on Desi's bed.
Mom!
Desi called.
Will you please make Libby get out of our room?
Is she bothering you that much?
Desi's older sister Claire asked from the top bunk bed.
Yes, she is bothering me.
Mom came in and knelt down next to Libby. Honey, she said, your sisters are trying to read, and it's almost time for bed. Let's go to your room, and I'll read you a story.
But I wanted to sleep with my sisters,
Libby said. I know, Mom said, but you need to sleep in your room. Mom picked up Libby and carried her out of the room. Libby started crying. Desi frowned. She wasn't trying to make Libby cry. Sometimes Libby acted like such a baby. Why couldn't she be fun to play with, like Claire? Libby had been asking to sleep in their room for days now, but they never let her. They didn't let Libby do a lot with them. No wonder she was so sad, Desi realized.
Claire, I feel kind of bad for Libby.
Claire leaned out over the bunk bed to look at her.
You're the one who wanted her to leave.
I know, but I think we should do something for her.
Like what?
I don't know.
Desi put her head back on her pillow and tried to focus on her book. That night, Desi kept thinking about Libby. What could they do that was extra special? Suddenly, she had it. They could have a sister sleepover party for her. The next morning, Desi told Claire and Mom about her idea. They loved it. And Mom said that they could have the party that night. At lunchtime, Claire wrote a short message on a piece of pink paper. She rolled it up and tied it with a purple ribbon. Desi slipped it onto Libby's plate.
What's this?
Libby asked when she found it. She pulled off the ribbon and unrolled the paper. She handed it to Mom to read. Dear Libby, Mom read, you are invited to a party in our room tonight. Wear your pajamas and bring your doll. Love, Claire and Desi. Libby smiled big.
I'm going to a party!
Desi was excited too. After dinner, Claire and Desi ran to their room. Soon, Libby knocked on the door.
Princess Libby,
Desi said, opening the door.
Please come and sit on your royal throne,
Desi said, opening the door. She led Libby to a chair decorated with colorful streamers.
We now present the Princess Award to Libby Jackson.
She handed Libby a sparkly seashell while Claire clapped and cheered.
And now we shall play the princess's favorite game.
Can I pick any game at all?
Yep.
Libby ran to her room and came back with her favorite board game. The three girls sat down to play together. Normally, Desi thought Libby's games were for babies, but she was actually having fun. She even liked reading Libby's favorite stories together. After Mom turned off their light, Libby and Desi snuggled together in Desi's bed. Desi was too happy to fall asleep right away. Making Libby smile and laugh was so much fun, she couldn't wait to play with her sisters tomorrow, both of them. The author lives in Nevada, USA.
End of the story. A Party for Princess Libby. Read by Salem Tullis, Shannon Nelson, Maya Reinwand, and Tess Hawkins.
My Special Place by Jan Pinborough, Church Magazines. There is a place I like to go to listen for the Spirit. It isn't very far away. In fact, I'm always near it. My scriptures are quite close at hand. My picture of the temple, my journal where I write my thoughts, it couldn't be more simple. I hum a song. I kneel to pray. A quiet and peaceful feeling comes to my heart and lets me know the Holy Ghost is speaking. Find your own special place. Add special things like scriptures, pictures, and good music. Take time to pray. Keep kneeling and listen. Write down your thoughts and feelings. The Holy Ghost is speaking when you remember something you've learned before. You want to do something good or help others. You have a quiet, happy feeling. You feel warned to not do something. You feel comforted. End of the article, My Special Place. Read by Maya Reinwand.
Fun Stuff. My Baptism Bag. By Jenna Coford. When you're baptized, you make a covenant or promise to always remember Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. You can remember your covenants by making a baptism bag. Find or make a white bag. Cut out the pictures below or find some real items to put in your bag. If you haven't been baptized, Make this bag to help you look forward to baptism. White bag. I have been baptized and I am pure and clean. Water. I was baptized by immersion just like Jesus was. Gift. I received a special gift, the Holy Ghost. Washcloth. I can stay clean from sin by repenting. Soap. Clean thoughts and actions help me feel the Holy Ghost. Ear. I can listen to the Holy Ghost and always choose the right. Blanket. The Holy Ghost will comfort me and give me strength to choose the right, even when I have to stand alone. Scriptures. The Holy Ghost teaches and helps me to understand and know the truth when I study the Scriptures. Heart. Heavenly Father and Jesus love me. I can show them love by obeying the commandments. As I stay close to them, I will be truly happy. Flashlight. The Holy Ghost will light my way and help me walk in the right direction. End of the article, My Baptism Bag, read by Levi Williams.
Answers from an Apostle. What promises do we make at baptism? From Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. We take the name of Jesus Christ upon us and become a member of His church. After that, as we take the sacrament each week, we promise to remember Jesus. We promise to keep His commandments. We believe in Him. We worship Him. We follow Him. From Thy Kingdom Come, Ensign, May 2015, pages 119 through 123.
Meet Elder Neil L. Anderson. He was born August 9th, 1951, in Utah, USA. He grew up on a dairy farm in Idaho, USA. When he was young, one of his favorite jobs on the farm was helping take care of the rabbits. In high school, he went to a student government conference with teenagers from 37 countries. He told others about the church. After high school, he was called to serve a mission in France. He married Kathy Williams in the Salt Lake Temple in 1975. They have four children. What is an apostle? When Jesus was on the earth, he called 12 men to be his special helpers and witnesses. They were called apostles. He has called apostles to be his special helpers and witnesses today. They testify of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Elder Anderson is an apostle. Watch videos about the apostles at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Meet the Apostles. End of the article, What Promises Do We Make at Baptism? From Elder Neil L. Anderson. Read by Duane Case and Noah Strongen.
Friends Who Stand Tall, Standing for the Right. From an interview by Aisha Tan.
Hi, I'm Evan. I live in Ireland, and I like to play a game called hurling. It's an Irish sport that's like field hockey. My favorite subject is math. Being a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a blessing to me. Standing tall at school. A new boy at school bullied my sisters. I stepped between them and protected my sisters. I also obey the word of wisdom. Many students at school drink tea and coffee. When someone offers me tea, I say, no, thank you. Praying with friends. I go to a Catholic school. My sisters and I are the only students who are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When my grandma was sick, I asked her teacher if I could say a prayer for her. Everyone in the class folded their arms and bowed their heads. I said a prayer out loud in front of the class. The Best Big Brother. I make goals to keep doing what is right. I help my parents take care of my sisters. When my sisters are scared, I play with them until they forget they are afraid. One time when my parents were away, I told my sister stories until she fell asleep. Be an example. My friends at school see that I'm happy. I set a good example by not swearing or taking the Lord's name in vain. I can also be an example in my family. Evan's tips for standing tall. It takes courage to live the gospel.
Evan's tips for standing tall. It takes courage to live the gospel.
1. Don't give up. 2. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He will guide you. 3. Remember that helping other people have the gospel will make their lives happier.
Send us a footprint. How do you follow Jesus by standing tall? Trace your foot and send us your story and photo along with your parents' permission. Find out how on page 39.
End of the article, Friends Who Stand Tall, Standing for the Right, read by Tess Hawkins and Matthew Moore.
Happy Sabbath. Letters of Love. When President Monson was a bishop, he wrote letters every month to 23 members of his ward who were serving in the military away from home. One soldier didn't write back for more than a year, but President Monson kept writing. Finally, the man wrote back. He said that President Monson's letters had helped him come back to the church. Sunday is a great day to write letters. Who could your family write letters to? You could write letters to family members, friends, primary classmates, ward members, missionaries, people serving in the military, children in a hospital, people living in a care facility. Do this activity with your family. Make special stationery. Trace shapes along the edge of your paper and color them in. Watch a video about how a young girl's letters helped someone in her ward feel loved. Go to friend.lds.org during June. End of the article, Happy Sabbath, Letters of Love. Read by Scott Moore.
Bulletin board. Play Farmer, Farmer. Meet Evan from Ireland on page 14. Here's an Irish playground game to try. 1. Pick one player to be the farmer. Have them stand in the middle of a large area. 2. The other player stand on one side and call out, "Farmer, farmer, may we cross your golden river?" The farmer says, "You may not cross my river unless you are wearing blank," and picks a color. 3. The players wearing that color pass the farmer to the other side of the area where they are safe. Then the rest of the players must run to join them while the farmer tries to tag them. 4. When a player is caught, they hold hands with the farmer and try to catch players in the next round. The last player to be caught becomes the farmer. God gives us good food. This is rhubarb. Ireland is famous for potatoes, but rhubarb is also common there. The bright red stalks are often cooked with sugar in pies and jams. But don't eat the leaves. They are poisonous. 3. Ask your family, what are 3 things you love about yourself? Cyberstrong. I will use my time wisely and not spend too much time online. End of the section, Bulletin Board. Read by Dwayne Case.
Who Will Baptize Me? By Mackenzie Van Engelhoven, based on a true story. Enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. Alma chapter 7, verse 15.
Margot, who do you want to baptize you?
Mom asked as we drove home from church. Dad, I thought. I want Dad to baptize me. But I knew that wasn't an option, so I just shrugged. I don't know, I said. Dad isn't a member of the church. He reads the scriptures and prays with us, and he believes in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. But he's never been baptized. He doesn't have the priesthood, so he can't baptize me.
You should decide soon. Your baptism is only a few weeks away.
I'm still thinking about it, I said. But what I was really thinking about was how sad I was that Dad couldn't baptize me. When we got home from church, I saw my cousin Colin in the living room with Dad. Colin was going to college nearby and liked to come for dinner on Sundays. Dad got up to help Mom in the kitchen, and I plopped down on the couch next to Colin.
Hey, Margot,
Colin said.
I can't wait to come to your baptism. Are you excited?
I looked down at my feet and shrugged. Colin frowned.
What's up?
I don't know if I want to get baptized, I blurted out.
Why not?
Because Dad can't baptize me, I said. All of my friends' dads baptize them, but mine can't, so it won't be as special. Colin nodded slowly.
That would be hard. But that doesn't mean your baptism won't be special.
I just shrugged again.
Let me ask you something. Do you know why we get baptized and confirmed?
Yeah, I said. We talked about that today. We make promises with God and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's what God promises us, but we make promises too. Do you know what you promise God at baptism?
I count it off on my fingers. To take the name of Jesus Christ upon me, to keep his commandments, and to remember him.
Right. So when you get baptized, you make a special promise with Heavenly Father. That's all that matters. Your baptism is between you and Heavenly Father, so it will be really special, no matter who baptizes you.
I guess that did sound pretty special.
You know, by getting baptized, you're also setting a good example for your dad.
I perked up at that. Really?
I know your dad is proud of your faith and your decision to be baptized. Maybe seeing how important baptism is to you will help him start thinking about getting baptized too.
Colin reached in his pocket and pulled out a small box. He opened it and pulled out a necklace with a pretty gold charm.
Here,
he said, handing it to me.
An early birthday present.
Wow, I said. Thanks. That night, as Mom and I did the dishes, she asked if I had decided who would baptize me. I touched the gold charm around my neck. I think I know. A few weeks later, I stood in a white jumpsuit and looked down into the font. There was Colin, reaching out his hand for me. I looked at the people in the room and saw Dad. He was smiling at me. I walked into the water to be baptized, and I thought about my Heavenly Father. I was excited to make this first covenant with him. I bet he was smiling too. A new video. Jesus was baptized by his cousin too. Watch a new video about his baptism at friend.lds.org during June. The author lives in Massachusetts, USA.
End of the story, Who Will Baptize Me? Read by Maya Reinwand, Kate Strongen, and Paul Woodward.
Book reviews, compiled by Carolyn Colton. These reviews do not constitute church endorsement of these books, but the books have been carefully reviewed to ensure that church standards are observed. Picture books. The Empty Pot by Demi. All the children are given the task of growing the most beautiful flower from a seed given them by the emperor. See what Ping does when his seed won't grow. Owl Moon by Jane Yolen. Illustrated by John Schoenher. A girl and her father go on a late-night walk through the snowy woods looking for the great horned owl. Hidden in the shadows, a fox, raccoon, field mouse, and deer watch them pass. Will they see the owl? The Three Questions by John Muth. What is the best time to do things? Who is the most important one? What is the right thing to do? Nikolai knows that he wants to be the best person he can be, but often he is unsure if he is doing the right thing. See how he finds the answers. Miss Rumphius by Barbara Cooney. As a child, Miss Rumphius dreams of traveling to faraway places and living by the sea. Her grandfather assures her that this is possible, but also tells her to make the world more beautiful. Read how Miss Rumphius does just that. Giraffes Can't Dance by Giles Andrea Anderson, illustrated by Guy Parker Rees. Gerald the giraffe wants to dance more than anything, but with thin legs and crooked knees, it's harder than you would think. An unlikely friend gives him some encouraging words, and finally, he is able to dance to his own tune. Girls Who Chose God. Stories of Strong Women from the Book of Mormon by MacArthur Krishna and Bethany Brady Spaulding, illustrated by Kathleen Peterson. Read 10 stories about women from the Book of Mormon who chose to follow God, to choose the right, defend those in trouble, and break from false traditions. Their choices can inspire girls and boys to choose the right, too. Chapter books. Little House in the Big Woods by Laura Ingalls Wilder, illustrated by Garth Williams. Laura lives with her family in a log cabin in the woods of Wisconsin in the 1870s. She dances to Pa's fiddle, eats maple syrup candy, puts food up for the winter, and listens to stories of frontier adventures. This book gives a warm look at a family loving, working, and playing together. Candy Bummer, The Story of the Berlin Airlift's Chocolate Pilot, by Michael O. Tunnell. After World War II, a heroic pilot began to drop candy and gum into the city of Berlin, bringing children not only a little joy, but a lot of hope. Learn the amazing true story of Lieutenant Gail Halvorsen and how his small kindness lifted a nation. Find more book reviews at lessonhelps.lds.org under By Category. End of the article, Book Reviews. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Hidden Picture.
Fun stuff. Hidden Picture. This group of friends is ready for a summer full of fun and learning. Can you find the hidden objects? A glove, a button, a spool, a flag, a candle, a mallet, a bell, a leaf, a piece of pumpkin pie, a bow tie, a bat, an envelope, an orange crayon, a feather, and a golf club. End of Hidden Picture. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Book of Mormon Hero. Abish was a missionary. Abish's father taught her to believe in Jesus Christ. In her city, not many people believed in Jesus. After Ammon came to her people and taught King Lamoni, Abish knew that Heavenly Father wanted her to share the gospel with the people. She was finally able to tell everyone about Jesus.
Once our family made a mission plan, we decided what each of us was going to do. I decided to give my second grade teacher a Book of Mormon. When I gave it to her, she said, "Thanks, Adam. I like to read. I'm really glad we could do a family mission plan." Adam W., age 8, Utah, USA.
I can be a missionary. Memorize Alma 19:36. Invite a friend to come to primary to learn about the gospel. Help your testimony grow by sharing it with someone. I challenge myself to growing faith. Alma and Amulek taught many people about Jesus Christ. They told people that having faith is like planting a seed. When you make good choices, you help the seed grow. You can read more about what Alma and others taught on FJ4 to FJ6. Look for another reading challenge next month. You can print more copies at friend2016bom.lds.org.
End of the article, Abish Was a Missionary. Read by Gabriel and Eden Reinwand.
The Whole Armor of God. The scriptures teach that we should put on the whole armor of God. When we study the scriptures and pray, it's like we put on armor that helps keep us safe. Shield of Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ protects us like a shield. When we believe in Jesus and try to be like Him, we can make good choices, even when things are hard.
Helmet of Salvation. A helmet protects the head. We keep our minds safe when we follow Jesus and do what He wants us to do.
Girdle of Truth. A girdle is a belt that helps protect a soldier's body. Knowing what is true protects us. The gospel is true, and living the gospel makes us strong.
Breastplate of Righteousness. The breastplate protects the heart. When we love God with all our heart, we try to keep His commandments. We are blessed when we choose the right.
Sword of the Spirit. A sword helps fight against wrong. The Spirit helps us when we face bad or hard things. Listening to the Spirit helps us stay safe. What can you do every day to keep your spirit safe and happy?
Shoes of the Preparation of Peace. Shoes protect the feet. We try to follow Jesus Christ's footsteps so we can live with Him someday.
End of the article, The Whole Armor of God, read by Tess and Asher Hawkins.
Jordan's Study Buddy by Kirsten Ide, based on a true story. The Spirit will guide, and deep inside, I'll know the Scriptures are true. Children's Songbook, page 109. Jordan hadn't seen his sister Kiersey for over a year. It felt like forever. Soon she'd be coming home from her mission to have surgery. Jordan was sad that she was sick, but he was happy that they'd be together soon. When he came home from school the next day, Kiersey was sitting on the couch. Jordan ran and hugged her.
"Hi, Jordan. I missed you,"
Kiersey said. Jordan smiled.
"I missed you, too. I'm sorry that you're sick."
"Thanks, buddy."
She was holding the Book of Mormon in her lap.
"Can I read with you?"
"Why don't you go get your Book of Mormon, and we can start at the beginning together."
Jordan ran to his room and grabbed his copy.
"Got it,"
he yelled as he ran back. He scooted in next to Kiersey. They opened to the title page.
"The Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ,"
Jordan read. They took turns reading.
"On my mission, I study the scriptures with my companion every day. Would you be my study buddy until it's time for me to go back to my mission?"
A few days later, Kiersey had her surgery. She came home from the hospital to rest and heal for a few weeks. She and Jordan studied the Book of Mormon together every day. Before she went back to her mission, Kiersey said,
"Jordan, I want to challenge you to finish the Book of Mormon before you are baptized."
Jordan thought about that. His 8th birthday was only a few months away. He would have a lot of reading to do, but he wanted to do it.
"Yeah,"
Jordan said.
"As you read, will you pray and ask if it's true? Moroni promised that if we do that, the Holy Ghost will tell us that it's true."
"Okay,"
Jordan said. By the time Kiersey went back to her mission, they'd reached 2 Nephi together. Jordan really missed Kiersey. He especially missed being her study buddy. But then he got a great idea. At school the next day, he walked over to his best friend Jake's desk.
"I'm going to read the whole Book of Mormon before I get baptized. Since we're getting baptized on the same day, do you want to do it too?"
"Yeah. I've never read the whole Book of Mormon before,"
Jake said. Every day at school, they asked each other the same question.
"How far along are you?"
"The end of Jacob. How far along are you?"
Soon they didn't even have to ask the question anymore. They gave each other a look, and they knew the question.
"I think we'll finish just in time for our baptisms."
Finally, the day of their baptisms came.
"I finished last night."
"Me too,"
Jake said.
"And I prayed to know if it was true, and I felt really warm and happy."
Jordan smiled.
"Same. I felt really happy when I prayed."
He was so thankful for Kiersey's challenge. Now he was building his very own testimony.
End of the story, Jordan's Study Buddy. Read by Van Farnworth, Kara McClellan, Miles McClellan, and Ethan Nelson.
Show and tell. My bishop shared an important scripture with me at my baptism interview, Mosiah chapter 18, verse 8 through 10. This helps me understand the covenants I made when I was baptized. Angel O, age 8, Federal Capital Territory, Nigeria.
When I am baptized, I make a covenant with God. Was a special sharing time for the primary children of the Witbank Branch, Pretoria, South Africa, stake.
I have football training during the week. Once I was chatting and playing with some of my teammates. One of them started kicking a metal signpost, and soon each of the boys took turns kicking it. I knew it was not right to damage property, so I chose not to kick the sign. I felt good that I made the right choice. Lachlan S., age 7, Sydney, Australia.
Primary children of the Sarasota Ward, Sarasota, Florida stake, earned their blocks to build the Nauvoo Temple by coming to primary, bringing their scriptures, and learning the articles of faith. They learned that families are forever.
When my family was flying on an airplane to a family reunion, I was scared. I was sitting by my aunt, and she suggested that I say a prayer. During my prayer, I asked for comfort. I know that Heavenly Father helped me to feel better. Eliza J., age 7, Colorado, USA.
My dad and mom talked to us about the temple. They show us a picture of the temple and testify of its eternal blessings.
Tresor I, age 7, Congo.
I am a builder, and I love to build things out of cardboard, so I built my own temple. I live in the Houston, Texas Temple District. I hope to be married there one day. Eric P., age 10, Texas, USA.
Standing Tall Footprints. You sent us 2031. Savannah R., age 5, Utah, USA, said, I will stand tall by reading the scriptures. Alina L., age 10, Alberta, Canada, said, I've made a goal to finish the Book of Mormon on my own. I hope that this will strengthen my testimony. Jaden J., age 7, Hawaii, USA, said, I will stand tall by sharing the gospel even when it's hard. Gideon W., age 5, Arizona, USA, said, I stood tall when a person showed me a picture of someone without clothes. I turned and walked away. Then I talked to my mom and dad. Matteo R., age 5, Tuscany, Italy, said, In kindergarten, I say buongiorno, or hello, and arrivederci, or goodbye, every day. Autumn W., age 6, Arizona, USA, said, At Christmas, I did a food drive for the poor. Kale M., age 7, Colorado, USA, said, I will stand tall by preparing to go to the temple. Annie W., age 3, Arizona, USA, said, I will stand tall to follow Jesus by being kind to my brothers and sisters. Send us your footprints. See how on page 39.
Other contributors to Show and Tell are Ariel L., age 12, Ontario, Canada. Cameron C., age 11, Oregon, USA. Zachary Y., age 8, Wyoming, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org. End of this month's Show and Tell.
Friend to Friend. From an interview with Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President, by Daniela Subieta. Keep pedaling. Ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 20. When I was 8, I learned to ride a bike. I'd gotten a beautiful blue bike for my birthday, and my dad and one of my older brothers taught me to ride. They would hang onto the back of the seat and run along with the bike, and then let go. I remember looking down from my bike and thinking, Wow, I am so high off the ground. It was scary, but I soon learned that you have to keep moving if you want to keep your balance. You just have to keep pedaling. Life is like that, too. Everyone goes through hard times. Your family might move to a new place. Someone you love may be very ill. Life is sometimes uncertain, and you don't know what will happen. But just like when you're riding a bike, you have to keep moving forward to stay balanced. When you stop moving, you stop growing and progressing. To keep moving, you have to trust in Heavenly Father. As we trust in Him and keep His commandments, God will step in and make it all right, even if you can't see how things are going to turn out. How to keep pedaling. Draw a wheel and label each section with something you can do to keep moving forward. Here are some ideas. Remember who you are. You are a son or daughter of Heavenly Father. He cares about your life. Talk to Heavenly Father. Pray to Him every day for help, comfort, and peace. Then be still and listen for what He tells you through the Holy Ghost. Read your scriptures daily. You can feel the Spirit and find answers to your prayers. Serve people. Start by serving your family, then look for ways to serve others. Look forward. Everyone makes mistakes. Remember that you can repent. After you do, You don't need to worry about it anymore. Then it's time to look forward with joy. End of the article. Keep pedaling. From an interview with Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President, by Daniela Subieta, read by Jane Wise.
When I grow up, I want to be a dancer. From an interview by Linda Davies.
I'm Christopher Fairbank, and I'm a ballet teacher.
What do you do in your job?
I am a professional ballet teacher. I teach talented young dancers in my studio. Before I was a ballet teacher, I was a professional dancer. I even danced for presidents and leaders from all over the world.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
I love helping my students improve their ballet skills. I enjoy taking them to the ballet to watch others perform. I love to choreograph dances. And I also like traveling around the country to teach.
What did you have to learn to do this job?
First, I had to learn how to dance. I practiced many hours a day. I learned the basic techniques and the history of ballet. I also learned the right posture and positions for each dance step. Soon, I started helping my teachers. Then I became a teacher myself. Sometimes I even let my students make mistakes so they can learn from them.
How does your job help you serve others?
Teaching ballet is the best job in the world. I use the talents Heavenly Father has given me to help other dancers discover their gifts. Then I encourage my students to share their talents with others. Heavenly Father wants us to find our talents, use them, and share them with as many people as we can.
Watch a video about Christopher at friend.lds.org during June.
End of the section, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Dancer. Read by Maya Reinwand and Van Farnworth.
For older kids, Goodbye to Scary Stories. By Lori Fuller, Church Magazines, based on a true story. The books were fun to read, so why wasn't I feeling happy? If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. Articles of Faith, Chapter 1, Verse 13. It was really late, and my sister was asleep, but I was still up reading. I held my book and flashlight under the covers. If Mom and Dad came to see I was still awake, I could switch off my flashlight, close my eyes, and they'd never know I wasn't really asleep. I just couldn't put my book down yet. It was full of scary stories, and I had to know what happened next. Scritch, scritch, scritch. I jumped. What was that sound? It was coming from my window. It sounded just like in the story I was reading, where a girl was hiding from a ghost in her house. I shivered as the sound came again. Scritch, scritch, meow. I slowly let out my breath. It was just our cat scratching the window. Maybe it was time to put the book down and go to sleep. I stuck my bookmark between the pages and hid the book under my pillow. Then I switched off the flashlight. Now it was totally dark. The bed creaked as I rolled over. What was that shadow in the corner? Had that been there before? I pulled the covers up over my head and tried to fall asleep, but I couldn't stop thinking about the girl in the story. What would I do if a ghost was in my house? Ghosts aren't real, I told myself. It's just a story. I kept telling myself that, and I finally fell asleep. The next day was a book sale at school. I had been saving up my chore money for weeks. When it was my class's turn, I went straight to the scary stories. At the bottom of the stack was a book with an old picture of a creepy house. I bet it's haunted, I told my friend Julia. I tucked it under my arm and found two other books to try. That night, I started my new books. I read straight through the first one. You had to read scary stories fast. If you thought about something scary for too long, it just made you more scared. But the next day, as I started reading the book with the haunted house, I did stop to think. I'd been reading scary stories for days. I'd hardly set the books down. I'd hardly even left my room. And my brain was full of lots of scary things.
I thought about ghosts and people getting lost in the woods and monsters that tricked and ate you. All that stuff made me scared, even while sitting in my safe room with the sun shining through the window. I set my book down and took a deep breath. These books didn't make me happy. They didn't make me feel good. I was sad about lots of things, and these books just made me feel worse. I closed my eyes and leaned against my bed. "Dear Heavenly Father," I prayed, "I don't think these scary books are very good for me. Please help me know what to do and be strong enough to do it." When I opened my eyes, I looked down at my new books. "I don't need these," I said. It was time to find something that made me feel happy, not scared and sad. I picked up the books and pulled the rest of my scary stories off the shelf. It was a lot of books, but I carried them all to our recycling bin. I felt much lighter as I dumped them in. When I walked away, I didn't look back.
Sidebar. Is there anything in your life you need to change and fix, beginning tonight? Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The Greatest Generation of Young Adults, Ensign, May 2015, page 68.
End of the article, Goodbye to Scary Stories, read by Amelie Strongen and Dwayne Case.
A true story written by you. Was I ready? Colin M., age 12, Utah, USA. When I was 11, I was having doubts about if I was ready to receive the Aaronic priesthood. The day of my ordination was getting closer and closer. I had been taught that if I prayed to my Heavenly Father sincerely, I would get an answer from Him. So I knelt down and asked about the things I was doubting. Later that day, I felt like I should read the scriptures. I felt prompted to turn to the Doctrine and Covenants, section 20. This section talks about the priesthood duties and responsibilities. As I read, verse 59 stood out to me. It reads, "They are, however, to warn, expound, escort, and teach, and invite all to come unto Christ." These words inspired me. As I read them, I knew that I would be ready to receive the Aaronic priesthood and be ordained a deacon. Heavenly Father cared for me and gave me an answer that I needed to hear. Now as a deacon, I have looked back on my experiences and found that the teachings of that scripture are true. I am grateful that I chose to receive the priesthood. I look forward to serving the Lord as I advance in the priesthood. End of the story, Was I Ready? Read by Ethan Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, Mandy's friend Audrey gives Mandy some big news. While giving her a big hug, she says,
"Oh, Audrey, that's amazing."
Later that evening, at the dinner table, Mandy tells the family,
"I'm so glad Audrey and her mom came to our family home evening and listened to the missionaries, because now Audrey wants to be baptized, and her mom says it's okay, and..."
Matt interjects,
"Whoa, sis, that's great. But take a breath so you'll be around for the baptism."
"Her mom wants to be baptized too, but... Hey, when did you start calling me sis?" "But her mom isn't quite ready yet."
Dad says,
"You're a good friend to Audrey. She'll need your support even more after her baptism. Being a new member isn't easy, especially when you're the only one in your family."
"What things will be hard after she's baptized?
And what can we do to help her?"
How can Matt and Mandy help Audrey? Send your answers by June 30th. See how on page 39. Use the subject line, Helping Matt and Mandy. End of Matt and Mandy.
Stop. To read more, close the magazine and flip it over. Through your eyes.
This is a praying mantis. I like praying mantises because they're green. Hadley K., age 7, Arizona, USA.
How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or footprint. 1. Fill out the form on page 39 and include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or a high-quality snapshot. We may edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The last laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a dad and his two sons are playing video games. It's clear by the look on the dad's face that he's trying very hard, but struggling. One of the sons says to the other,
"Remember our secret Father's Day present? We need to let him win for 1 week."
End of Stop and Flip.
For parents of little ones, you've probably noticed your little one's attention and feet wandering during family prayer. It's easier to teach children how to act during prayer when they understand why. Why should they stop looking at books and close their eyes? Why should they stop reaching for their dinner and fold their arms? You can explain that prayer is a special time when we give Heavenly Father all our attention. This shows our love for Him. And when we're reverent, we feel His love for us and know He is watching over us. Here are three more ways to help children have positive experiences with prayer. Ask your child to tell you one thing that makes him or her happy. Then pray together in thanks for just that one thing. This can help children remember where blessings come from and shows them that prayers don't have to be long. During family prayer, thank Heavenly Father for your children and the good things they bring to your family. Be specific. When children feel your love during prayer, their hearts will be open to feeling Heavenly Father's love, too. When a child asks you to find a lost toy, pray together for help. Children often feel Heavenly Father's love when He guides them to find lost things. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the section for Parents of Little Ones, read by Terrell Williams.
Bright Idea. This month's Bright Idea poster depicts a boy looking at a picture of Jesus while he lies in bed. The caption reads, "I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm following in His ways." Children's Songbook, page 78. End of this month's Bright Idea poster. Read by Daniel McClellan.
Caleb's Bedtime Prayer by Jennifer Maddie. "What should I pray for?" Caleb asked Daddy. "Pray about what made you happy," Daddy said. "And you can ask Heavenly Father to help you." "Thank thee for son and friends," Caleb said. "And please bless my owie. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." End of the story, Caleb's Bedtime Prayer, read by Hope Williams.
Book of Mormon Stories. Alma teaches how to pray. Alma the Younger and others went to teach the Zoramites. The Zoramites did not believe in Jesus Christ. They did not remember the right way to pray. Once a week, the Zoramites climbed a tall stand. They held their arms up high and prayed. They said that they were more special than other people. Everyone said the same prayer. The Zoramites prayed only when they climbed the stand. They didn't think about Heavenly Father or pray to Him at home or anywhere else. Alma taught the people that they could pray anytime and anywhere. They could pray about anything, and Heavenly Father would help them. We can pray the way Alma taught. We can pray anytime and anywhere. We can even pray silently in our heart. Heavenly Father will always hear us. End of the section, Book of Mormon Stories. Alma teaches how to pray. Read by Kate Strongen.